Okay, so to give you a little bit of a sense of how Chassidus, it's Wednesday, so we're learning a little Sfas Emes, how it differs from people who build their religious world and fabric without Chassidus. So Chazal talk about batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono. You should sublimate your will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should succumb, you should submit your will to Hashem. Now, for a non-Chassid, that means, okay, I've got all my tools that Hashem gave me, all the endowments, I've got free will, I've got emotions, I've got analysis, I've got a lot of talents, and I will use all those traits and all those facilities to serve Hashem. So I won't choose sin, I'll choose mitzvah. I won't choose wasting my time, I'll choose studying Torah. I won't choose a life of frivolity, I'll choose a life of meaning. So you're behaving like a human being, like any other human being that makes choices. But your choices are the choices Hashem wants, not the choices you would maybe arrive at your own. So that's how, more or less how, in Chassidus, is a very strong current called Hizbatlus, and I've talked about this before. Hizbatlus doesn't just mean you suspend your own decisions because Hashem's will is more important than your decisions. Hizbatlus is you suspend your thinking, you suspend your analysis, you suspend all the free will, analysis, understanding that Hashem gave you, you basically suspend them. So for non-Chassid, Hashem gave you these tools, use them to arrive at decisions that Hashem wants. In Chassidus, no, just empty yourself of any decision analysis, just say whatever Hashem's will is my will, and I'm performing this not because I understand the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is important to me, because I realize what the mitzvah, I'm doing this only because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to perform it, and I'm making myself into, almost I'm annihilating myself. It's called Hizbatlus. It's a very, very different form of Avodas Hashem. People don't fully understand. Hizbatlus doesn't just mean, oh, Hashem's more important than me. Hizbatlus means I'm emptying myself of all the human processes that Hashem endowed me with, and that's the highest service of Avodas Hashem. Again, since it's Kabbalah, since in Chassidus are trying to achieve larger Kabbalistic goals, you can't know it though, so your analysis is flawed. I can't analyze things I can't see. So what's the highest level of a mitzvah? Just to perform it as Hashem wants, because the mitzvah is going to trigger realities and worlds that I can't even begin to understand. So you think, for example, Chassidus doesn't mock the Rambam, but I'm just using it by way of contrast. Rambam, you think you've been able to identify reasons for mitzvahs, reasons in the human realm, but mitzvahs have such larger cosmic importance that you can't ever begin to analyze. Stop thinking about what the mitzvah means. Just say, I'm fulfilling the will of Hashem in a mechanism that I can't possibly understand. Okay, that's a good introduction for Parsha Shlach. Why is this an introduction for Parsha Shlach? Because Parsha Shlach talks about a shliach or shluchim who fail. These are messengers and agents of Hashem who rebel against Hashem and scorn Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash contrasts these failed shluchim with the successful shluchim of Yoshua. Yoshua sends two shluchim. According to Chazal, it was Pinchas and Kalev. Kalev has another shot at it. Pinchas is the new Meragel. And these are shluchim who succeed. And the Medrash, and a lot of Sfas Emeses, just if you ever learn Sfas Emes, starts by quoting Midrashim. He picks two or three Midrashim from Midrash Rabbah, and he pivots a lot of his learning on those two or three Midrashim. Now, so a lot of this Medrash is describing the successful shlichus of Pinchas and Kalev. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Who are Pinchas and Kalev, and how were they successful in a way that the Meraglim in our story were not successful? Okay, so let's start. First of all, if you look at the Pasuk in Yoshua, the Meraglim of Yoshua, how do they disguise themselves? Anyone remember? What was their disguise? Pottery salesmen. They're selling pottery. Kadarim. They're selling pottery bowls. Okay, that's interesting. Why do we need to know that information? What does that symbolize? Where did they hide? Rachav's house, a prostitute. So this is important information for being a successful shliach. Want to be a successful shliach? Disguise yourself as a pottery salesman in the house of a prostitute. We'll see why this is important. Okay. Now you know what you need to know fact-wise before the Sfas Emes. This is all just facts. Who they were, who, what, when, and where. What does Sfas Emes say? So Sfas Emes says, essentially, we are all shluchim. We're all sent to this world with an agency. Okay, so right off the bat, that already suggests that a shliach doesn't have free will. If you're a shliach, you're given a specific task to perform. That's very different than, let's say, the way we were talking yesterday at my barbecue with, you know, what's your mission in life? What's your mission in life? Where you use your experiences and your free will to try to find out what mission do you want to volunteer yourself to in life. Here's, you're just the shliach. You don't know what your mission is, but you're just the shliach with a predetermined mission. So the story of a shliach is the story of every man. Parallel-wise, the Vilna Gaon explained Yonah as the story of every man. Yonah is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for Jews. Every Jew is Yonah Titamati. So Yonah is the Yonah sent to this world with a message. You're sent to this world with a message. A little different than Hasidus, but Hashem has a plan for you. You're not in this world just to live, eat, have a good time, make money, and, you know, watch your favorite team. There's some larger message, larger reality you're sent to this world. Okay, now, going back to what I talked about yesterday, how could the Meraglim be condemned for their failure? After all, this was a Kodesh Baruch Hu's command, Shlach Lecha Anashim. The answer is they had their own goals in mind, whether it was nefarious, whether it was just logistical. Yesterday we talked about in the Rabbah, it was just logistical. But then Hashem stepped in for whatever reason and overlaid his command with their plan. They originally wanted to go on their own, but Hashem says, you know what, I'm now incorporating this as my command. At that point, here's ground zero, here's the critical shift. They should have said, you know what, our plans, out the window. Whatever we wanted, let's assume right now they had constructive plans. We're going to look, intel, find ways to conquer the land, gather information, say, you know what, once Hashem overlays this trip as a command, we say, you know what, I don't know what we're doing, we're just following Hashem's command. They should have converted themselves into Hasidim. They should have said, we're now being misbatel ourselves, Hashem has a plan, we are suspending all of our ration, all of our thinking. And because they didn't do that, therefore they were condemned. As opposed to, okay, now who is the foil? Who is the anti-villain here, or the heroes? Pinchas and Kalev and Yoshua. What do they turn themselves into? Pottery salesmen. Pottery is the cheapest, most meaningless, faceless, tasteless, colorless. It's just earth. You make pottery. It's not gold. It's not silver. It's not jewel. They turn themselves into pottery. And not just pottery. Does anyone know the halachas of a kli cheres? Right. One halacha, you can't be magil a kli cheres as opposed to kli mateches. What's another unique halacha of tum of a kli cheres?
Tum of avir.
It's mitame mitocho, avir, not mitame bechutz. If a sheretz were to touch a kli cheres on the outside, it wouldn't convey tumah. But if a sheretz were to enter the airspace of a kli cheres, it would convey tumah to anything in that airspace, even though it doesn't come into physical contact. And what does that show? Kli cheres is the ultimate item that has no, I'll use fancy words, form. All it has is functionality. Namely, the shape and the material of a kli cheres is meaningless. If you touch the material of a kli cheres, the actual body, no problem. But if you touch the airspace of a kli cheres, where it's meant to contain items and protect items, that's what the airspace is, the inner part of the kli cheres. So a kli cheres has no independent identity, no independent form. All it is functionality. So by turning themselves into a kli cheres, both the material of a kli cheres, earthenware, as well as the halachic concept of a kli cheres, functionality without form, these meraglim were succeeding in the way that the shlach meraglim didn't. The shlach meraglim should have said, okay, we had our plans. Those plans could have been constructive. We should have suspended our plans and just said, whatever Hashem is telling us, we're performing without thinking, without analysis, just by being misbatel ourselves to Hashem. They didn't. Pinchas and Kalev did. They turned themselves into pottery. And not only that, to show how they had suspended all human interest, all human desire, all human experience, where did they visit? A prostitute. Because basically, they, at this point, they're not thinking, they're not feeling, they're not desiring. If a regular person were to visit a prostitute, that would get very dicey, that would get very dangerous. But if Pinchas and Kalev, they're already pottery salesmen. They have already divested themselves. It's a good word. If you're looking for a good word in English to describe it spotless, it means divestiture. To divest yourself of all human thought and analysis and plan, and just simply to commit yourself, whatever Hashem, I don't even know if this mitzvah is, I know Hashem wants me to do the mitzvah, I want to do it because Hashem wants me to do it. Rather than saying, I think this mitzvah symbolizes that, and it helps my experience here, and I can understand it this way. It doesn't form the mainstay of most non-Hasidim in their experience. Certainly not me. I don't live as spotless. But there are times in my life I live as spotless. And Parsha Shlach is a portrait of people who couldn't be misbatel. And Parsha Yoshua, or Zev Yoshua, is a portrait of people who became pottery salesmen and visited prostitutes. Because to them it didn't make a difference. It was like going to the grocery store. Okay, now, just to show you how powerful these words are, let me read a few words of the Sfas Emes about how you should perform mitzvahs. So he writes, V'chein b'chol mitzvah, im ha'adam mevatel be'emes, kol ritzono, af lo l'schus l'madregos. You don't want higher madregos and mitzvahs, what you think the higher madregos are, what you're going to gain from the mitzvah. You're just mevatel t'Hashem, rakadei la'asos ritzon Hashem bilvad. Nikrash and nosei nafsho b'hashlichus. Kiyam mitzaref chevtso, if it's any chefetz of yours at this mitzvah, why are you doing a mitzvah? Because it improves me. Why are you doing a mitzvah? Makes me a better person. Why are you doing a mitzvah? Purpose. Meaning everything that the words we normally use are inferior in chassidus. Mitzvah is not to be mitzaref yourself. There's only one way to be mitzaref yourself, and that is clinging to Hashem. And the only way to cling to Hashem is to divest your own interests that separate you from Hashem. It seems a little bit anti-modern, but if you think about it a little bit, it's very, very postmodern, not pre-modern. It's very postmodern. That human beings can't achieve any truth on their own. And the only truth is the absolute truth of Hashem. It's not so much pre-modern, and you cling to Hashem. It's a very different way of thinking. And there are times in your life I think you can use this spotless. I think day to day, you're not. Now you're going to learn today. You're going to try to use your chachma to understand yourself, understand your world, understand why you're eating, what. To be a better Oved Hashem, but I think there are times in life where you just say, I just can't understand it, and have to realize I'm part of a larger interaction with Hashem, and I'll be misbatel to Hashem. So Parsha Shlach became a time for the Sfas Emes' grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, to talk about his spotless, to be a shliach. A shliach is the paradigm of his spotless. Okay? Tomorrow we'll get to Rashi.